A little bit, and the title of the talk is Making Resonance Energy Transfer Theory More Coherent. So I changed the title after hearing some of the talks, so I thought it might be better to make it a little bit more general. Before I talk about my research, let me briefly introduce you the place I work at. I'm at Queens College, so it is one of the City University of New York, located in Queensborough. As you can see, it has very nice view of Manhattan, but still it has ample space to play and walk around. And this is pretty much the place I really do my theory. And my major field is not really quantum computational control, although I was really interested in working on quantum computation about 8 years ago when I was a postdoc at MIT. And at that time, I chose to work on something that really exists at that time, and I chose to work on light harvesting complex system, as shown here. And since then, my work and research expanded to this large class of systems called optoelectronic systems. And there are the major things of these systems is that for these systems to work, somehow they have to capture photon, and the photon energy, excitation energy, electronic excitation energy has to transfer from one place to the other with very high efficiency. So in really understanding these systems, or in helping, for example, plastic solar energy conversion systems, it is really important to have a theory that allows you to understand resonance energy transfer not just qualitatively, but quantitatively. The oldest and the best well-known theory of energy transfer was developed by Forster. And the idea is that, let's say you have ground molecule donor in the ground state, and then it is excited by photon. Then, let's say there is acceptor molecule at nearby, maybe about nanometer scale distance, then the excitation energy can transfer to the other without emitting or absorbing any photon. So this is dark process and long-range resonance energy transfer. So the decay rate of excited donor is given by this spontaneous decay, and it's called Forster transfer rate. The Forster rate, even in today's standard, is quite intriguing. It has quite intriguing form. The nice thing about this theory is that it has all of the parameters in this theory can be determined by this, by all the experimental information except for this orientational factor. But if we actually look into details of the original Forster paper and also follow-up papers, the first theory is nothing but the application of Fermi golden rule. So you have 1 over R6 dependence because it is the square of the transient dipole coupling between excitation of donor and excitation of the acceptor. And you need spectral overlap to ensure energy conservation. So although the Forster's rate expression has been well known and has been used really a lot of times, I couldn't really find a good literature that tells me how to really get that expression step by step. So instead I derived these relations between this guy and normalized emission and this one with molar extinction coefficient in my recent paper. So in the appendix of my recent paper based on quantum electrodynamics formalism. So if you are interested in understanding what the first theory is really about, I recommend you to read this paper. As any really good theory the first theory actually is based on well-defined approximations and assumptions. Therefore, although first theory has been used a lot and has been really successful, it cannot be really used blindly because there are many assumptions one has to be aware of. The first one is that it assumes that the excited donor is fully equilibrated before energy transfer happens. The second thing is that it is a theory between donor and acceptor that have single electronic centers. And the third, it doesn't really include quantum effects of distance and angular modulation. Fourth, it doesn't include real, it is a theory of incoherent quantum kinetics because it is based on Fermi golden rule. Therefore, it doesn't really account for coherent return of population. Finally, there is something still very dissatisfying in terms of including the dielectric response because it assumes macroscopic dielectric response. So the goal is actually, I mean, the challenge here is how we can really improve Felser theory or Dexter theory, which is similar but based on exchange interaction mechanism. So all of these things, actually for the past years, I have been working on all these improvements, except for the final one, local field effect. And so these red ones are what I'm going to talk about today. Of course, I'm not the only one working on this field. I would like to mention selective list of people that have made or making important progress in each of these topics, including the session chair. And so with this, let me start with simpler theories of mine. So the first thing is, as I mentioned to you, the first theory assumes that the excited donor becomes fully equilibrated in the excitation manifold of the donor and then transfers. But if the coupling is a little bit large, if it's large enough, the transfer can actually happen even before equilibration. So the theory for this within incoherent kinetic approach can be generalized by using a time-dependent version of Fermi-Golden rule. So this was based on very simple theory, but still I believe it's very useful because this gives you a way of determining time-dependent rate using this one, and this one I believe can be extracted from, for example, time-dependent stimulated emission spectroscopy of donor. So this was kind of a starter problem for me. So using this one, I kind of learned the basic assumptions of the Felser theory. And the next real theoretical interest was how I can really generalized Felser theory for systems with multiple chromophores. So the issue here is that now if you have multiple chromophores like donor groups and acceptor groups here, you cannot really disregard the quantum interactions between these two. So you may use, for example, diagonalize this excitation state, but still, they are not really diagonal eigenstates in the Hamiltonian, the reason being that, although I didn't show here, they are also coupled to the environment. So whether you use local excitation basis or whether you use delocalized exciton basis, no electronic state is really eigenstate of the total Hamiltonian. So there is always relaxation going on. So this phasing and relaxation. So the goal is how we can really derive, still let's assume that the distance between these two groups is still large. So you can still assume that the incoherent quantum kinetics between the two. So in that case, what is the best way of generalizing Felser theory without touching the important quantum coherence or relaxation in the donor and the acceptor groups? So the derivation of the rate is not trivial, but it can be done, and it has been published in 2004. And the final rate expression is actually relatively easier to understand because it shows that the rate is given by tensor product between transient dipole coupling element and this Frank quantum matrix element. So these matrix elements contain all the quantum coherence and relaxation inside the donor and also inside the acceptor. And the fact that the rate is given by tensor product is really important because the rate can be defined uniquely whether you use localized excitation basis or whether you use delocalized excitation basis. So no matter which basis you use, you get the same number based on this rate expression. So one of the important applications of this rate theory turned out to be this light harvesting complex too that you saw this morning in a wonderful talk. And so the question I asked was, based on spectroscopy, people were able to measure the energy transfer from here to here. And the experimental estimate based on, for example, pump probe spectroscopy was on the order of 1 picosecond. But the estimate based on the first theory was at least 5 times slower than the experimental rate. So I applied my theory to the system, but the actual modeling and application is a long story. And here I'm not going to talk about all the details, but I want to emphasize 2 important results. So I was able to calculate the transfer rate based on Forster theory and multichromophoric Forster theory. What I see is that if I compare the maxima of the two, really the multichromophoric Forster theory is about 5 times faster, larger than the Forster theory. Secondly, within multichromophoric theory, the distribution of the rate. So this is the distribution of the rate. Distribution of the rate is much broader than the prediction by Forster theory. So what I see is that in nature, the energy transfer mechanism is much more dispersive than the prediction of the Forster theory. And the center, the maximum of that very wide distribution is still very large and larger than the Forster theory prediction. So as a final confirmation, I calculated the expected transient dipole moment given that the average of the rate based on this distribution is equal to the experimental one. And this was the estimate of the dipole, transient dipole moment. And this was comparable to the experimental one. So at least I see that all the things are consistent. There is no apparent contradiction. So I became happy and then tried to move to the next topic. And so there are also other important topics that, as I mentioned, and I would like to stress 2 important experimental findings. One is the effect of inelastic resonance energy transfer. For example, if we have a donor and the acceptor, and then the donor and the acceptor distance can modulate, go through quantum vibration, or the torsional motion can go through quantum vibration. Some of the energy can actually go into those modes. There is no theory that accounts for that, but experimentally, such an effect has been found to be quite important in polycyophane, which is an important component in plastic solar cell. And the second thing is that as Forster theory is based on Fermi golden rule, it doesn't really explain properly the coherent return of the population. But now there are increasing number of experiments. For example, in this experiment, they saw oscillation in time reserved anisotropy of polarization. So it means that if donor and acceptor energy transfer happens, then the anisotropy will relax, but still it goes through oscillation. It means that population may actually go through oscillation. And more recently, there is a paper by Fleming group and also Scholes group. So this one is for natural light harvesting system, and this one is in actually MHPPV polymer. And they also saw experimental evidence for very long-lasting coherence. So this was actually very exciting for me because, I mean, I think physical chemists knew that there are always coherence on the order of femto, I mean, 100 femto and also some even picosecond time scale. But for these biological systems, it's not really easy to get the real data, direct experimental data. But I think this gave actually the real information that any theorist or any computational chemist or computational person can model and understand. So in terms of developing theory of inelastic force theory, so this was also work done in 2007. It is quite simple. You also go to the original Fermi-Golden rule, and then you can actually include the fact that there can be additional mode coupled to the transient dipole and distance. Then you get an expression similar to the first expression, but now the expression has two-dimensional spectral overlap. So it means that based on this weight expression, when there occurs inelastic force transfer, the energy can actually transfer even when there is no apparent spectral overlap, as long as this additional spectral density, spectral function, can bridge between the donor and acceptor spectral profiles. So this is still new, and no experiment has been made to confirm or throw this theory away. So I'm waiting for someone to actually work on this kind of experiment. So finally, let me talk about coherent resonance energy transfer that I have been really working on for the past 2 years. So the issue here is that coherence occurs when, for example, in this case, I have a very simple model system, but the theory I develop can actually be extended to fairly complex Hamiltonians. So let's assume that there is donor and the acceptor, and this is the population, and this is the coherence, and this is system Bethe coupling, and this is Bethe Hamiltonian. The issue here is that when coherence resonance energy transfer happens, all of these terms, ED, the energy difference and resonance coupling and system Bethe coupling are all comparable. So there is no small parameter that you can really expand the theory about. And also in this case, typically Fermi's golden rule or Redfield equation, which one can apply when the system Bethe coupling is small, are not so reliable. So the question is, how can we develop a theory that works in this regime and also connects different regimes where the traditional theories have been working fine? So the thing is that whenever you see there are no small terms, you can actually make one of them small by introducing some transformation. There is one well-known transformation called Polaron transformation. Let's say there is donor and the acceptor, and they have rather strong pair interaction. If you introduce Polaron, then you dress the donor with surrounding Bethe modes, and also you dress the acceptor with surrounding acceptor Bethe modes. Then after then, the coupling, effective coupling between these dressed states become much smaller. And you can actually go one step further. You can use the fluctuation of the coupling between dressed states as the perturbation and expand the theory about that term. So this idea of Polaron transformation has been used a lot and really made Holstein and Feynman and Bob Silvey actually do a lot of works. And let me be more specific about the actual steps. So in this Hamiltonian, what you do is that you first introduce Polaron transformation, and this way you renormalize system Bethe coupling. And then second, define the fluctuation of renormalized system Bethe coupling as a perturbation Hamiltonian. And then if this becomes small enough, the second order quantum mass equation with respect to this perturbation actually can include infinite orders of the original system-based coupling terms. So it's kind of a different way of doing effective diagrammatic summation. And in fact, this approach has been worked out long time ago by Bob Silvey and his collaborators. But what I see is that still in those days, there were not really computers available for actual calculations, and Bob didn't really go further to try to get the numbers. And in my case, what I was trying to do was to actually get actual numbers by doing modeling. For doing so, you actually have to extend the theory a little bit. First, you have to include the non-Markovian quantum effect of the best. Second, in typical experiments, when you excite the molecule in short time scale, you are creating a non-equilibrium state of excited donor. So you have to include the non-equilibrium initial condition. So this was what I did. So let's say you have this quantum Liouville equation with this type of model. If you apply a Polaron transformation, this is the transformed quantum Liouville equation. And as you can see, the J now is multiplied by these clothing terms, and because these are exponential operators and bounded, however strong the system-based coupling might be, still they don't become so large, okay? And you can go further by defining the original renormalized population, the average and coherence, as the zeroth order Hamiltonian, and then use this as the perturbation. And then this is the quantum Liouville equation in the interaction picture with respect to this zeroth order transformed Hamiltonian. So this equation looks very simple, but I didn't really solve anything because still there are many system and best degrees of freedom involved. But the point here is that now this term remains small, even in the strong system-based coupling, even when the coherence is large. So maybe it's possible to expand, develop quantum mass equation with respect to these terms. So it is possible in principle, but it has never been done. When I was trying, I understood why, because it involves a lot of terms that you have to calculate. And so the mass equation you get has this kind of form, and what you are solving is not the total density operator, but the reduced system density operator, which is the trace over the older unimportant best degrees of freedom. So this is the relaxation kernel in time local format, in time local expression. And so T is given by this one, and this kernel is given by this one. So you can actually calculate all these things by numerical integration. The inhomogeneous term is a little bit more complicated. So I started with the simplest initial condition where the excitation is localized in the donor. And in this case, this was the expression for the inhomogeneous term. So as you can see, this one is the most complicated quantum mass equation that has been derived so far, but it is more comprehensive and powerful. So I think that there is some good side of it. So this one, I derived the equation, and also what I did was to actually calculate all these terms in the eigenbasis of the H0. And then here are some results. So what I see is that now, these are some model parameters, but you can believe me that these are parameters that are comparable to actual light harvesting system. The left-hand side is when the coupling to the base is weak. In this case, as you can see that based on the equation, there is significant coherence. And The red dashed line is a result based on the first theory. So you get expected coherence in the population, but another important thing is that the coherence also changes the steady state donor population. This is a downhill situation. In this case, actually coherence is not so helpful in population transfer. Rather, it is more helpful when there is disadvantages. So I think it's a fair game. And as the system-based coupling becomes larger, you can see that this one becomes closer to the first theory limit, but still there is significant difference. And at this point, you can see that it is becoming significant to include the initial inhomogeneous sum. Here, this one is rather modest parameters, so it doesn't appear to be so significant, but if I test it for other things, there are cases where inhomogeneous term is really important. On the right-hand side, I really see that my theory really approaches the first theory prediction. So after I have done that, I knew that there is big limitation in the theory because it assumed fully localized donor at time t equals zero. It's not possible to attain that, prepare that physical situation. So I went a little bit further and then came up with more general theory that starts with linear superposition of donor and acceptor excitations. Now, because you have four different terms, the whole equations, the inhomogeneous terms, the terms quadruple. But still, you can do the calculations. So this has been completed recently, and here are some other calculations. What is interesting here is that, so this one is fully localized donor, and this one is linear combination, but the upper one is positive linear combination, the lower one is negative linear combination. Based on the first theory, they have to have the same population change, but based on this theory, I can clearly see that the positive combination actually delays the population transfer. On the other hand, the negative combination actually boosts the population transfer. So this is what you really expect, but it has not been so easy to show this quantitatively without commanding your calculation to do so. So I didn't really input anything, but I just changed the parameters and then see all these different things. And the other thing is, when you have this coherent mixture, you can see that the effect of initial preparation is really important. So let me skip the, this one is for the degenerate case. The effect is less strong. And in this case, if you have a smaller donor-based coupling, you can see that the transfer, you see more transfer. The final one is when there is a common mode between donor and the acceptor. So the red one is more of protected coherence, meaning that the common modes have the same sign of displacement. In this case, whether excitation is in the donor or acceptor, there is not so much difference. So in this case, coherence is protected. On the other hand, now the coherence is kind of damped. So this kind of C, I believe this might be the situation that may happen in experiments. So if I summarize, I have developed a list of theories for incoherent quantum kinetics, and also developed a theory for coherent resonance energy transfer. So far, my goal was to develop a theory that I can really play with. And the next thing I have to do is actually to test the theory with already available theories and also try to really explain experimental data. So finally, I would like to acknowledge my collaborators and also my students and postdocs and funding that I got recently. Thank you for your attention.